Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, bearded dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cow, my God.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you shouldn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
March 13th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. And I have a bunch of different things to talk about tonight. I'll get into them as I get to them. I really have no format, as everybody knows. But I think I do have my friend Andrew on the line.
What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
Not much. How are you tonight?
Good, good. Same old, more or less. A little tired, but, you know. What can you do?
Such is life.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, this is Andrew, host of Stern Nation, who is blowing up on the internet right now. And, you know, congrats on that.
Thanks, man. It's crazy. Like, who the fuck would think that people would care what I have to say? Evidently, people do, though.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I got to get off my ass and try to get myself on some of these other, you know, avenues where people can listen and I could see something. I mean, every once in a while, I'll get a number, and I'll look at it like, whoa, really? People?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of people. It's like, holy shit. But
how did that happen?
Know? Yeah, it is pretty amazing, and, you know, but it's well-deserved. I mean, guys like you and, you know, Mish and those guys, I mean, they've been busting their ass for a long time to build themselves up to what they are, and, you know, including yourself, so. You know, it's well deserved, and sometimes it takes a lot of time or the right avenue or the right, you know, just got to play your cards right and just keep working at it. You know?
Just a matter of the right people hearing you at the right time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I actually heard on Stern the other day, you finally got the mad plugger, as you call him, got through to Stern himself.
Yeah, they didn't seem to be too happy about that, but, you know, and I warned them, too. I was like, dude, this is awesome, but just be careful, man. Yeah. I don't want you to get a blacklist and they don't take your calls anymore.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, yeah. He hit pretty much all the 101 shows and the wrap-up show and then got, and even Artie, and then got Stern this week. And, you know, for a minute there, Stern seemed pretty interested in what he was saying, but
yeah.
After he started talking about it again, he was like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, he was really trying to beat it to death, I think, until he got hung up on it. That's exactly what he got.
Yeah, but, you know, he does a show with Jesse from San Diego, who's a friend of the show and a friend of mine, too.
Right.
Who, those clips of Jay Thomas, that's the Jesse. That's who Jay Thomas was yelling at.
Okay. Yeah, the guy he does is, okay. Makes
like
a lot
Jesse
of sense.
San Diego, I don't want you on my fucking phone anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't get a chance to listen to today's yet. That'll be tomorrow, my during work tomorrow. But, you know, just like a quick couple notes about, you know, what went on this week on Howard. Well, Monday, he came back. Everybody expected him to talk about AGT, which absolutely didn't happen.
No, that was surprising, dude. I'm like, you know, since when did he kowtow to any listeners saying, I'm not going to do this? But I tell you, he has punished listeners in a way before. Back way back in the WNBC days, before he was trying to get the first woman to come to the studio and take her top off, which, you know, by this point, there's been thousands. But
right.
The first time it happened, he said, I want a woman to come here and take their top off, and I am not doing a show until that happens. And they had dead silence. They had, like, hours of dead silence until a woman came down and took her top off.
Wow. That's it. That's something else. I mean, he didn't talk about it. My initial first thing was I thought, like, oh, man, something probably went down with, you know, what's-her-face.
Heidi Klum.
Yeah, Heidi Klum. Because I kind of think it's one of those things that he's not going to get along with her. I mean, maybe I'm wrong or something. It just seems like perfect recipe for disaster between Howard Stern and Heidi Klum. You know?
Well, we talked about it last week. Let me ask you, what do you think about there being four judges there this year? Because I know last year on your show, while AGT was going on, you were talking about it a lot.
Yeah. I think it's too much. I mean,
yeah.
As they said,
three people didn't have enough time to talk last year. And how
right.
The fuck are they going to fit in with four?
Yeah, as they said last year, Howard was saying they pretty much gave like the three judges a combined amount of time that they had to talk, and if the two judges before him ran over, it was pretty much like he could just shout out a name and they would end the segment. So it wasn't like he had a lot of time. It was more or less like a block of time, and if the other judges run over, it leaves that last judge with nothing instead of like a finale and, you know. Yeah, I'm not really sure about that. I definitely think it's too much.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But you know, we'll see what the shows are like, because you know they could be, you know, different but better. It could be different but worse. You know, really anything could work out. I mean, they could have something going where they give the judges more time to speak. You know,
could be. Yeah, could be.
Like I said, even with three judges last year, it seemed like they were rushing everyone's comments.
Yeah.
My fear is with four judges, they're going to have like a timer on them and they're going to like adhere to, you know, 25 seconds or something like that. And, you know.
Sure. My thoughts, too, though, is, we'll touch on that in a second, too, because I think it's hilarious about Robin's attitude lately and everything. But I think it kind of leans a little bit towards what she's saying. Like, how much can Heidi Klum even have to say? I mean, it might be, you know, a little bit where she doesn't have a whole lot to say about everybody, so it might be a judge in itself, but not really like a whole lot of opinion.
I said it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. When they got Mel B in there, that was actually perfect in my opinion, because you have Howard, who is a who's an entertainer. You have Howie Mandel, who's a comedian. You know, you had Sharon Osbourne last year, who was really just like Ozzy's manager, basically. But now you have Mandy, who's a musician, and who in her time, you know, they were one of the biggest things in the world. So based on the type of acts that we saw last year, and last year was my first year watching that show, only because Howard was on it.
Right.
You pretty much have someone who's a judge who represents what just about every contestant is trying to do. We don't really see anyone showing up on AGT trying to be a supermodel, so that's kind of where I think Heidi Klum is odd person out.
Yeah. I don't think someone could go up on stage, walk back and forth with a nice outfit on, and get any type of points. They're getting X pretty quick, so. I mean, maybe the only thing I could say possibly that she can give certain sort of criticism on is, you know, they say a lot of times, you know, they'll start out, they'll sing really well, but they have kind of a plain look. Maybe she could do something to criticize the way that these people look and their appearance on stage, you know, but as far as that can go.
Yeah. And I also think it's funny that now, you know, you continue the trend of the judges of America's Got Talent only consists of one American.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Well, he's America's judge because it's the only one from here.
Yeah, well, that's what, like, going as far back, because, again, I've never been a fan of the show, but I know, like, Jerry Springer was on with them early on, and David Hasselhoff and guys like that, but my understanding is that as long as it's been on, there's been a lot of judges have been not from America, but he's the one, or there's always one American judge there.
Yeah. So yeah, like I had mentioned, Robin's attitude I think is pretty hilarious. She's been pretty outspoken and shitting on everybody that she could barely have like a dislike or an issue with the person. She pretty much goes all out, and I think it's pretty hilarious.
Except for Gerard Butler.
Yeah. Well, you know. But, and I thought, because it came up again, too, and I was really, really waiting for Howard to bring back up during that Gerard Butler thing when they were talking the Bond stuff. I really wanted Howard to go, do you think Roger Moore is an asshole?
And that was just the weirdest thing, too. It's like she's saying she doesn't like him as James Bond, and Howard says something positive about him, and she goes, he's an asshole. Which, you know, if you're a longtime fan of the show, you know Robin is very cynical, and it's like that's sort of her character there, right? You know, like Baba Booey is the guy with the teeth that always fucks up. You know,
right.
Benji's the guy that's always late, so on and so forth. Robin's the one who is an asshole. That's what surprised me when she came in that one day and said, I'm no longer going to emasculate people, to which I'm thinking, then why the hell is she still on the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, if you're a fan of the show, you know Robin, you know that's sort of what she does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really too surprised by it, but I mean, yeah, like based on the boards and shit like that, she's gotten a lot of criticism recently, and a lot of people seem to be making the comparison that since she started working from home, you know, because of her sickness, that she's then gradually gotten worse. I don't really see it that way. I see it as, you know, it's kind of a happy medium because Howard's been a little bit nicer over the last few years. And
sure,
so you still have that kind of cynicism that's coming from Robin that, you know, used to come more from Howard. I think you're noticing it more because you're not getting it from Howard.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. But yeah, she's pretty vicious with that shit.
Yeah,
I just think it's pretty comical. I mean, it goes further than just like, yeah, you know, I'd say he's the worst of the Bonds, or, you know, I never liked any of the movies he was in. She just said, you know, he's an asshole. That guy's an asshole. It's just like, she never met him. She got nothing on him other than didn't like his movies. That guy's an asshole.
Right.
So I was like, wow, that's something else.
I don't like Owen Wilson's movies, but I'm not going to say he's an asshole.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. What happened this week? He did the one, I don't know, I wasn't that big on the interviews this week. I'm really could care less about Gerard Butler. I don't watch actually that many movies overall. So, I mean, he could be the best actor in the world and it doesn't even show up on my TV. So I don't know. Nah, it's nothing against him. He's doing his job. But
so just like you, I haven't listened to today's show, but I mean, they were pretty interview heavy today. Beetlejuice came in for one, which is always good when Beat's around. And Dennis Rodman called in from Rome. And Jenny McCarthy, who made up for the Gary double booking her and Jewel a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to listening to today's show tomorrow because I did read, you know, what happened. I got, like, venom as far as how I feel about Dennis Rodman. I actually have his interview clipped, so I'm going to play a little bit later. And I just, man, I have a lot to say about that shit. So I can only imagine. I can imagine that's going to only make me angrier tomorrow. So, but I'm sure it was entertaining. And Jenny McCarthy's always awesome. And, you know, Beetlejuice, of course. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. The other one, the other interview was yesterday's show, and I really could give a fuck about John Varvatos. I don't think all the money in the world would have me dressing in his clothes, and, I mean, that's great that, you know, Howard, you know, likes wearing his stuff, but I couldn't have been less interested in what happens with his wife. I'm just like, all right. Yeah.
Although it was great that you know, that the whole Ralph Gay thing sort of came up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you haven't heard much of that in recent years, but then, you know, even John Varvatos is saying, yeah, I thought Ralph was gay.
Yeah.
So Ralph's a weird guy, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Ralph.
Like, but, you know, you heard, I'm sure you heard the biggest news of the week on Stern was Eric the Midget now wants to be called Eric the Midget.
Yeah, because now he's going to sue people
right.
for using his name and making T-shirts, and this will be his way to do it.
Now it's like, no, now I'm calling you Eric the Actor.
Yeah. That little bastard. But, yeah, it's funny.
Like, just thought the whole Homer Room thing where they mention the Homer Room and he hangs up. You know?
He immediately hangs up, yeah.
And then Johnny Fratto puts on Facebook, he's like, that little fucker won't go in the Homo Room, but I will.
Yeah. So I'm definitely interested in, you know, listening to today's show and, you know, seeing what goes on there. Obviously, you know, either way, criticism or not, I, you know, just glad to see Howard back. Anytime he's got a week off, I'm like trying to fill my time. That's normally like my morning thing. So,
you know, no matter how nice he becomes, no matter how many days a week he's on, it's still the best radio show in the world.
Oh, of course. Of course. So, yeah, but I'm sure you're going to talk much, much more Stern tomorrow night. So,
For sure. We have, the one thing a lot of people didn't hear that we're going to talk about that we didn't briefly talk about today is, I don't know if you heard about the Steve Brandano meltdown last week.
No.
Oh, dude, it was crazy. I'll have to get you that because, like, he went into Back Office Radio, which is my favorite, my new favorite show outside of the Howard Show.
Right.
And it was like an hour where he got in a fight with both Will Murray and Jason Kaplan and just, like, yelled at them. And it was like, it seems like there's a lot of things that sort of, like, with Steve had been building up in his head. And it just sort of all came out, and the Back Office Radio was part of it. And the basic thing is, we're no longer friends, essentially, is what happened. But, oh, man, it was great. And it seems like Steve Brandano has become really kind of an a-hole, especially since the whole Black Keys thing in November.
Yeah. He didn't get his way. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, it's like, in my mind, I listened to the Black Keys after that, and I think they suck. That's just me.
Yeah, I've never listened, so
I like rock music, so I checked them out, and I'm like, this is not good. I don't want to see them.
Yeah, so definitely tune into the Stern Nation tomorrow night and listen to them.
Oh,
hey,
we haven't talked since I went. Did you see all my block party photos?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to meet pretty much the whole staff.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, like, even like Jimmy Florentine, who, you know, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but a lot of people know, used to date Robin. So,
yeah.
You know, he brought her up briefly, and, you know, so it was a great time, great weekend. A lot of the SFS people were there, so, you know, I don't get to see them very often. So when I do, that's always a good time also.
Yeah, so, next topic I want to jump on is, a certain guy who we both have a good amount of dislike for, and that would be Frank Goodman, also known as
I was going to say you need
to
be more specific.
The Mass Maniac. And I put together a little something that I'd like to debut, and see if I can get a little drum roll with my cajon. A la Howard. All right. So let me debut this now. I had a good time doing it, and check it out.
I am the Mass Maniac, but I want you to understand, I grew up a well-off kid, okay? My dad owned every single black person in that neighborhood. My dad owned 12, 13 million little Mexicans smacking each other in the ass. I don't understand why they don't even make, like, Mexico a state. I understand that I'm an asshole. Yes, maybe that's a racist. Like a 300-pound Nazi. Can I tell you something? Look, next weekend I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Man-on-man love. Fruit, booty, queer, like it in the ass, fag. Men are going in the sauna, they're taking the light bulb out, and they're having sex in the sauna. That's why I now go to the undisclosed gym. Just happen to like getting rammed in the ass by another guy. The girl with the big milky bazoombas at the tanning room, she said to me, look, just some guy with a lispy Cindy Brady voice staring at somebody else's penis, you know? And I want to make this clear again. I'm what you call a retard. I've been the worst wrestler in the world for 27 years. I suck. The guy's coming down. He almost hit me in the head with the thing. But I want you to understand, when you work shit, you become shit. And I've worked so many shitty guys, that's probably why I suck. I am the Mass Maniac. Fraudulent shit. Penis, penis, penis.
Yeah, so there you go. Not sure if you had heard that episode before, but
I had not.
I figured I'd debut it to the world.
Is that called the Frank Goodman honesty segment?
Yeah, that was a little something. That was the first one of those I've done, so I was pretty happy with it. Took me a while, but yeah, it's a good
you know,
time.
You guys are talking about Howard. Frank Goodman reminds me a lot of Ronnie. You know how everyone says about Ronnie that, like, he's a self-hating Jew, so he acts like he's Italian? That's Frank Goodman, to a T.
Yeah, that guy's something else. Yeah, I had just recently realized that he started doing another show in January with some, I don't even know what to call this dude. I mean,
Frank calls him his producer, but he's, you know, I mean, you use Blog Talk Radio, you know that there's very little producing that goes along with it, aside from the bit.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't want to knock your medium, but, you know, the system is your producer, essentially.
Right. And the guy has, I mean, they joke about he has no personality, but the guy doesn't have a backbone or anything. Like, he just doesn't have, he's just like a whipping boy that's allowing Frank to do something on his service. I got to look it up because I forgot to do that, but.
The guy's name is like John Smith or something like that.
Well, the first episode, his name was Jay something. And then I think it was the second episode, Frank renamed him John Smith, and that has been his name since.
Okay,
so,
I read that was his real name, but who really fucking knows or cares?
I don't know if it is or not, but yeah, I mean, he just continues to go on a tirade and, you know, rips Mish and he rips de Blasio constantly, but it's just, he uses people. That's what he's always done his whole life, as far as I know. I don't know about his adolescent age, but as far as the wrestling business, all he'd ever did is use people. As far as the hotline and the podcast type stuff, all he did is use someone else that, I mean, he wouldn't know how to do it himself. I'm surprised he's able to log on to a Facebook or anything like that because he's just shy of a retard.
His shows, I mean, his wrestling shows, you know, was all like ECW and TNA people, you know, like there's very few people that, you know, he used that, you know, that were like sort of hidden gems. The only sort of unknown people that he used were people that, you know, were like friends of his.
Right. Yeah. So
if you want to call them friends, they're probably more like people who said they were his friend to get on the show.
Yeah. So yeah, I just, I don't know. I never had any respect for the guy, but I listened to some more of that just because I knew he was going to be riffing on people I knew and, you know, issue him super cool with and all, so I was like, let me see what he got to say. So then I figured, let me clip together something I think would sound far better than his whole show. kind of condensed version of everything he says. So yeah, that's pretty much that. And I'm sure there'll be more to come of that. But yeah, did you watch Raw at all this week?
I watched most of it.
Yeah, I missed some of it. I did see the majority of it. The DVR, I'm, you know, just trying to zip through. And so,
I didn't see much of the 9 to 10 hour because of the following with Kevin Bacon, which is a fucking awesome show.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I really don't watch any of those, like, reoccurring or whatever you want to call it, like ongoing, like movie, TV shows, like the, I don't watch
the shit
any
you
of
have
them.
To watch every week. And yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, I watch every week people freaking out about The Walking Dead and the this and the that. No, I'm sure they're all good shows for what they are. I just don't get into that type of shit. So I don't know. So anyway, they started off with the Paul Bearer tribute and, you know, it was actually, like, you know, pretty touching. You saw all the video package, and then you had Undertaker coming out, the urns in the middle of the ring, and this and that. And if there is anything that could have turned this, I mean, you know, rest in peace to Paul Bearer and everything, but if there is anything that could have made this angle with Punk and Undertaker actually good, it's the death of Paul Bearer.
Right, because it seemed like Paul Bearer died at the best possible time, if there is such a thing.
For this angle.
Yeah. Right, because it seems like it was almost like they were going into the thing with CM Punk and The Undertaker, and it's like, how are we going to do this? Because, you know, like, you know, CM Punk's going to cut some good promos, Undertaker's going to do some good stuff, but it's like, every one of The Undertaker's best that stuff for WrestleMania, there's been something personal there, and now with Paul Bearer, you have it. And I was talking to someone on Facebook last week about this, and I was saying that they were saying, God, I hope CM Punk doesn't do anything disrespectful with Paul Bearer. And I'm like, no, that's not only is he going to, he needs to make this work. Because realistically, when someone dies, you just get that little image at the beginning of the show. And that's it. And then when they did more about it, you know, you kind of knew that they were going to do some. When they had Undertaker come out and hold the urn and shit like that, you knew that Punk was going to do something. And it was great.
Oh yeah. No, I mean that line was absolutely a classic when he comes out and he says, "You know, I am really sorry for your loss at WrestleMania." I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, wow. But, no, it was really good. They went down a great angle with that. A lot of people were speculating that they were going to completely leave out that Kane was involved with Paul Bearer at all, and I didn't think they would, and they didn't. So, obviously, a good idea to include everybody who was included because, you know.
Yeah, and it's easy to forget Kane, too, because he's sort of doing his thing with Daniel Bryan, and it's like, you're not really sure if he's a babyface or a heel. He's somewhere in between, but, you know, and even if it doesn't go any further with Kane, you know, you had that, and you could use the main event, and, you know, you could sort of use the Kane-Undertaker thing for the next few months to further the storyline.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I thought that was a really good way to go. I think that definitely helps set up the whole Mania thing, as you said, and yeah, it's
probably the only match I really want to see at WrestleMania, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Huh. Maybe the Shield, Sheamus, Ryback, Randy Orton match might be pretty good, but outside of that, I don't really care all that much.
Yeah, I Cena Rock. I'm not a huge huge fan of that. So.
Triple H Lesnar might be all right. It was surprisingly good the last time.
Yeah. I hope that Brock's going to get a lot more vicious this time. He was pretty tough with Triple H, but not anywhere near what he did with Cena. So I'd love to see what he did there.
Yeah. Plus, you know, Triple H is getting older. He's, you know, getting a little more brittle, you know. Got the juice going, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He's all HGH, triple HGH'd.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of these past couple weeks the New Age Outlaws have been wrestling? Have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen them, and I almost want to say that's the answer to what are they doing with Kane and Daniel Bryan at Mania. I really don't think they're facing each other. I know people keep saying, oh, that's going to happen, oh, that's going to happen. Well, they haven't even officially split them up yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know, what are they going to split them up the week before and throw them into Mania one-on-one? I mean, I could kind of see them just defending against a team who's been around forever, such as New Age Outlaws, possibly, and then just doing that type of thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but...
I would love to see the Outlaws in a match there because, I mean, we've only seen them a couple times, and this week it was only for like a minute because Brock came out. And,
right.
But like last week, man, they looked as if it was 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Well, except for Billy Gunn's hairline.
But like his physique, man, is just as good as it ever was.
Sure. Well, the Triple H's boys, and I think he knows how to get his physique right if he needs to.
True. I mean, that's a good point, too. But, you know, at the same time, we're not seeing a lot of Kevin Nash on TV anymore.
No. But there's no juice.
But I think fans made it obvious how they felt about that.
And knees, you know. Can't juice up your knee and make that shit work. So
yeah. To be fair. Kevin stepped in the ring, he'd probably tear a quad.
Yeah. So then they started off with, it was supposed to be Big Show versus Seth Rollins with the Shield, which, to a certain extent, I get it, because they do have to start. Continuing question I keep asking, too, is, like, when are they going to start giving these guys singles matches? And a lot of people try to equate that to, like, when are they splitting the Shield up? That's not what I mean. But when are these guys going to get individual matches? So I guess they got to start at least attempting to go in that, even if it immediately turns into a DQ, which is kind of ridiculous, but in the same token, you do still expect that. So I hate everything Big Show, so there's nothing good that could have came out of that, but I could see it going in that direction. They keep trying to isolate the guy, but they keep getting jumped, and then eventually you end up in like a steel cage match with, you know, one of the guys and whoever they're facing. So something to lock them out, or, you know, I could see one of these situations, you know, in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like Seth Rollins, you know, I saw him at the end of his ROH, like his second or third to last match in ROH.
Mm-hmm.
It was here in town. And, man, just he looks so much better now than he did. To be fair, that was like, what, 3 years ago?
Right. Well, who did he face that that event?
Fuck, I don't even remember. It was Davey Richards.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
maybe he looked so terrible because he was in the ring with Davey Richards, though. I think he's kind
yeah,
terrible.
I always liked Tyler on the indies.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it was just like I watched. That was the first time I watched him because at the time we didn't have Ring of Honor television.
Right.
So, because it was before the show, the Ring of Honor show. So it was like the first time I really saw him, and it was like a 20-minute match, and that's the problem with these Ring of Honor guys is it's like a lot of them are great if they let them do like a 40-45-minute match. There was a lot of phenomenal matches on that one, but that just happened to not be one of them. But, you know, and it was also Tyler Black. It was like it was known he was leaving because it was only a couple weeks before he left. So, you know,
yeah,
the fans were chanting, "You sold out" and stuff. So, you know, to get his heel heat, he did like the John Cena moves and taunts and shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
of course it worked.
It's funny with the TV stuff. I legitimately, like, I've been to a bunch of, a good amount of Ring of Honor shows because I'm over here in Jersey. So you know, I've seen some in Jersey. I've seen some in New York. No, I didn't see any in New York. No, I actually didn't go to New York for any wrestling shows. Oh, and Philly. And I've seen a bunch in Jersey and Philly. And CZW, I've literally seen over 100 live CZW shows. But every time one of those two companies or both of those companies got a TV deal, it somehow did not touch my area. It would reach all over different spots in the country and still within driving range of the show didn't touch my TV. So it was pretty interesting how they went out with that broadcasting they did there. So
yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, the show's on in our area, but like, it's sort of the same thing where it's like you have an hour show, and realistically, to get the full experience of what these ROH guys can do, that hour show with commercials, which I think equates to like 43 minutes based on
right.
the standards, should be like one match, but they squeeze like three in there and they squeeze them in shortened, and you know, and it's just like, it doesn't really give you a good idea of what that product can do. You know what they should do is they should give away like a free pay-per-view, like once a year or something, so people can
right.
you know, actually see what they can do. But you know,
well, what CZW did, I actually liked that they did on New Year's Eve. They called it the 10 best matches of CZW of 2012. Now, I criticized it on the show, saying that no, it wasn't the best, you know, 12 matches in CZW in the year, and I pointed out what I felt was, and a few of the matches were, you know, should have been on that list, but they gave it away for free on New Year's Eve. So if you're around, you weren't doing nothing, you know, or you had not much going on or whatever the case is, it was a free iPay-per-view and you got to see 10 matches, and it gave a good cross section of what CZW does. You know, it wasn't a whole show, but it was like, oh, this match from Tournament of Death, and this match from, this show and that show, and like, here's some of that guy and here's some of that guy. So I thought it was like a really, really good promotional tool. They might want to try that also on an off month where it's not quite New Year's Eve, because I mean, you're going to get more people that way, and do like just 3-4 matches. I mean, if it's free, you can't complain about length, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and that way you can pick the matches that sort of, maybe if they're not even the best matches, but they're the
right.
ones that gives you a good taste of what CZW is all about.
Right. And I thought, unfortunately, they're no longer with that pay-per-view company. Now they're going to be doing iPay-per-views through Rob Feinstein now. So,
hide your kids.
Yeah. Yep. So, that's, you know, I guess we'll see, you know, how that goes and how it looks and everything like that. You know, I just like to see them on iPay-per-view. I'm not attending shows anymore. It's too expensive, and amongst other things. So I just figure whatever. I mean, get it on my computer, and I'll definitely the card looks good enough, I'll order it. It's $15. I used to spend, you know, 30 per front row seat, you know, times two and gas and everything else. So $15 ain't really that bad if the card looks good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, they did Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler, which they seem to be randomly putting together some of these dream matches, and they're using Daniel Bryan a lot in this aspect. Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, you know, and they're putting these matches together where the indie fans are just looking at it going, wow, this is just perfect. This is unbelievable. And this was another one. It was really good. You know, they worked the heel stuff with the, you know, Ziggler's crew and all that. But, I mean, just a great match.
And there was no sort of screw job ending to it. You know, it was like a clean finish. And it was like, nowadays, everything's got some kind of interference or some weird finish. So to see something like that, that's right now as close to a dream match as you can get, and
yeah.
have it actually finish, and, you know, possibly even sow the seeds for a rivalry in the future with them.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
you know, because who knows when Dolph Ziggler's going to cash in that briefcase, you know?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. They're definitely stretching as much time as they can possibly stretch, so.
Yeah. No one's ever cashed it in at WrestleMania, though. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that could happen. But if
you know,
cashes in...
Cena and Rock have this hard-fought match. Rock wins. And you know Rock's not sticking around. So then Ziggler comes out with it.
Do you think he goes over for the Raw title?
I don't think they're going to have both people who won Money in the Bank in a year cash it in and lose. Because Cena did that. He cashed it in and he lost.
Right.
Or he didn't win. I think he won the match, but he lost. But he didn't win the title. So I don't think they're both going to do that. And, you know, but it's like, if you look at Dolph Ziggler right now, is he any further behind than The Miz was when he did it? No, he's ahead of where he was, actually. You know?
Sure.
And it's like, that's sort of what they need to do. That's why I always like the idea of Money in the Bank, because it's believable. You know, like, the first time Edge cashed in, there was no way he was going to be believable beating whoever the champion was for a title. But if you do that sort of sneaky, underhanded thing to get it, it's like, it's believable, and it gives that guy a chance to use it, to get that title, and show what they can do, you know, give them that opportunity.
Right. But do they go, the other question, you know, as far as Raw and everything like that, I mean, do they go Raw, or do they go, you know, post-Del Rio Swagger match?
I think I remember seeing that each briefcase is only good for one. So you know what I just said? Scratch that, because I think he can only cash that in on the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too, if it was anything, just because it's a big blue briefcase where I think Raw is our brand.
Because Cena's was a red briefcase, so it was the Raw title. So yeah, I think... And, you know, but then again, with the whole Swagger thing, they could sort of use it, you know, like Swagger beats Del Rio, and then he comes out and takes from Swagger. But then you're taking away Swagger's seat, but who knows what they're planning on doing with him after his arrest.
Yeah, I don't know. I figure they're more or less going to ignore it. They probably gave him a pretty loud, you know, reprimand about it and told him to watch his shit. And then, I think they'll judge his whole, you know, performance and how he goes over and everything as far as WrestleMania. I think if there's any penalty, they're probably holding it till after that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he saw some time off out of him after that. So I don't know.
Unless the plan was for him to go over at WrestleMania, and now he's not because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really not sure at all how they're handling that. I'm glad that they're keeping him on TV, because initially when that happened, it was like, you know, everyone was like, well, there goes that. What else do they got? And it's like, no, that's all they got. I mean, they planned the whole thing, the Elimination Chamber, everything. He was not going to win that, you know, to not go into this angle, you know, a racist border guarding, you know, guy that's going to go up against Alberto Del Rio. Just for them to go, all right, well, you know, throw Mark Henry at Del Rio. Like, that's not going to – it's Mania. You can't just swap that out. That was the big idea. So.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, they're playing it to the hilt. And even though, like, on a personal level, I'm definitely not a fan of Dutch Mantel.
No?
Oh, no. I'll tell you off the air what happened there.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't like me either, personally, so it's okay.
Oh. All right. Then they have Sweet Tea comes out with Brodus and them. That name kills me.
What is it about this guy that they have to stick him with the current white guy, or I guess Brodus Clay's a black guy, but like the current dancing fool, because they did that with him with Scotty Tuhati once upon a time, and they called him the hip-hop hippo.
Yeah, they did.
But it's like, why do, especially like at this point, like if you do that 10 years ago, it's like, okay, he hasn't really established himself. He came back to WWE from Japan, where he was like a mega superstar.
Yeah, he was a monster in Japan. So
I mean, he was like the guy. He was like as big as, like, Masahiro Chono ever was, you know?
Well, I don't know about Chono, but I mean, he was tag team champion over there with Carl Anderson. He was definitely doing some big squash shit. Like he was no joke. He was no dancing fool, that's for sure. And they definitely, you know, brought him from a long, long time in Japan over to be a big monster in there. And I keep going back to this. I just think they did too much. For a while, WWE had no crusher. And at the time where they brought him back, Brodus was also being a crusher. They had Cesaro come in beating everybody. They had Ryback beating everybody. Who else did they have? They had like another one or two guys that were just all not losing and just squashing their opponents. And I don't think they knew who to keep a crusher and what to do with everybody. And they just, you know, Dancing with the Stars, the few of them. And then, Ryback's still kind of on that role that they put him on, but they couldn't have kept everybody killing. Even Sandow, right, when he came out, he was just short, making short work out of everybody. He'd cut like a promo on the way to the ring that was longer than the actual match. You know, so I don't think they knew what to do with him once they were done with that initial, you know, role. They killed his manager, and then they're like, all right, what do we do? So I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot, putting too many people in that super dominant role at the same time.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with, like, Ryback, and it's like, a lot of people are kind of looking at him as a step down because he had those couple of title matches. But, like, if you take those couple months out, you know, he's sort of right along the same lines as he was. But, you know, you always have to develop someone eventually, too. And it's like he's having his trouble with, like, the Shield right now. But, you know, the same thing happened with, Goldberg. Like, he was undefeated for, like, 6 months. He was just crushing guys. And then they started putting him against, like, DDP and Raven and guys like that. And, you know, you don't want to have him, like, crushing I don't want to say a superstar, but, you know, a bigger name, like, you know, like he would Hugh Morris, right? So you sort of had to do that where you had to sort of have him go in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. So they got them in there, and then they kind of stood there, and then it was going to be Fandango who was going to wrestle him, and then he didn't like the way they said his name. And he said he wanted Naomi to be part of his deal because she's better than all that. And then he wanted her to say his name. And, you know, they keep drawing this out with the Fandango character. So, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. Speaking of Naomi, I watched the last week's NXT, and she has greatly improved.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Some of the spots and stuff that she does is really, really solid. She's doing some real good, like flippy lucha moves.
Is she the one that said on Tough Enough that her favorite match of all time was Melina versus Alicia Fox?
I believe so. it was one of
that
the two.
Still makes
it was either Cameron or Naomi. It was one of the two, but and they're both actually getting a lot better, but Naomi's got some really impressive lucha shit that she's doing, like, you know, like leg lariats and stuff that look really good. So,
evidently,
yeah,
for a while, Shaw Guerrero was looking good, but she just up and quit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I never really got to see too much of what she was even doing. She quit before I got to see any of that, I think.
The only time we got to see her was when they did the finale of Tough Enough, and they actually had, like, a match in front of a crowd. She was the ring announcer for it. That's, like, the only time we really got to see her on regular TV.
Oh, okay.
But even so, you know, like, that didn't really indicate a lot of her talent there. But, I mean, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of talent down there. And they're doing the right thing, too, like giving people time down there before they come up. Like, for instance, we were talking earlier about Seth Rollins. He was down there for, what, like 3 years before they brought him up with the Shield.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's, you know, Cassius Ohno has been there for a while. Who knows when he's going to come up, but, you know,
they got
so
him up. I mean,
so there's a lot of guys down there that it seems like they're taking their time with, which is good.
Yeah. Then they did the Rhodes Scholars thing with New Age Outlaws. Brock came out, destroyed them. They got on the mic, did the whole thing, and, you know, fighting Triple H. And he's going to announce stipulations after Triple H signs the contract, and I'm sure they'll do that. And I don't know what stipulations they're going to make. Like, no DQ. All right, then. Like, what? I don't know what the big deal is going to be coming off of that. But I guess we'll see. I mean, I like Lesnar because I really think he's legit reckless. I don't think that the guy is a very safe worker. And when they put him up against a guy like Triple H, it only intrigues me. I really, you know, and I'm not a wrestler, so it's not like, hey, I wrestled Brock and I think he's unsafe. Like, I don't fucking know. I think he definitely caught Cena when he first came back, and I don't think that was supposed to happen. There's been more blood in Brock Lesnar matches than there's been in, you know, Undertaker Hell in the Cell matches in the last 5-6 years. So I don't know. Even when he caught his head on the ring post, I don't know how much that was supposed to happen, or if he's just so out of touch with what he's supposed to be doing that he just clipped the ring post. I mean, the guy bust the whole top of his head open. And blood.
Sounds like he was supposed to, because it made Triple H piss his pants.
Yeah. he bled really
good. You
know what
it reminds me of? Like, the whole sometimes where it's an accident thing is, I don't know if you ever saw this match, but it was when Eddie Guerrero was the champion and he was feuding with John Bradshaw Layfield. There was one match where JBL hit Guerrero with a chair and evidently, like, hit him, like, way too hard or in the wrong spot or something like that. And
right.
Eddie Guerrero wound up losing, like, 80% of the blood in his body in that match.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the ring was covered, the mats on the outside were, like, covered, and it was, like, as if it looked as if they were painted, like, you know, like, I guess whatever color blood stains, like a light brown or whatever. It looked
right,
as
yeah.
if the area was painted in it almost.
Yeah. I don't know. I just... The side of his head that got busted open, that I really wanted to see that side of his face, because he clearly had, like, at least half of a crimson mask off of it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even shoot that side of his face. Like, the camera kept hitting his other side. Like, more or less to not even show the extent of it. So I highly doubt that they wanted him bust open like that. Of course, once he is, it just adds to the angle of how brutal Triple H is and this and that, but it's just surprising that, you know, these type of things that, I wouldn't even say surprising, awful coincidental that every time a Brock Lesnar match or incident leading to a match happens, there's some contact that goes a little further than looks like it was supposed to. Like I said, the punch on Cena when they had the whole tussle thing and he busted his whole face open, you know, I don't know if you, oh, this is going to be a work. I'm just going to bust your lip off your face. Like, that's usually the way wrestlers don't bleed.
Right, yeah.
At least on purpose, you know. So, I don't know. I just always look forward to Lesnar matches for these reasons.
Yeah, especially since he came back last year, since this is, what, his third match, fourth match?
Yeah.
Like, he's not doing that many. So, it's like it's a rarity. So, I mean, you're not going to see him against, you know, Brodus Clay or anything like that. You're only going to see him against a big name.
Yeah. And I really don't think that he would ever be back in the WWE if he didn't have half his intestines taken out and then just start getting his head pounded in UFC. I think
he almost died
retired.
Because of UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. So I honestly don't think that he wants to be here at all. And, I mean, the fact that this is his only option, he's going to be here, but he's probably disgruntled and still has that thought in the back of his head that, you know what, I can beat this guy's ass legitimately if I want, you know. A lot of incidental stuff going on in the ring. So who knows? And they go with Mark Henry, Kofi Kingston, and I don't know why they continue to just treat Kofi like a bitch. I have no idea. I know people have, you know, compared him to like a Shelton Benjamin that they kind of just use for spots. And you know, whatnot. But in the same token, I think he's really talented. He definitely brings a lot of energy to the ring. You know, he could definitely move around and do a lot of stuff pretty effortlessly. And I don't know. They just let Mark Henry just kick his ass in. And then they seem to be heading towards Ryback and Mark Henry, because then they do the whole Slater thing. Ryback kills Slater, and then they come out and, like, take turns beating the shit out of Drew McIntyre, which is, you know, it's only Drew McIntyre. I mean, his girlfriend beat him up. Why shouldn't those two?
Yeah, if someone who's married to him can beat him up, why not the guy he works with? You know?
Yeah, why not the giant angry guy in the ring that yells
on the Kofi thing, too? You're like, you're right. Like, it's totally, it's kind of depressing almost because he is so talented. And it's like the last 2 years, it's like he was only in the Royal Rumble for a crazy spot of, you know, working his way out of an elimination, you know?
Well, yeah, 2 years in a row, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've done one the last, like, 5 years or so, but it's been different guys. It's been, like, Rey Mysterio or John Morrison, but now it's Kofi Kingston is that guy.
2 years of Kofi. Kofi walked on his hands 2 years ago, and then he did the whole hopping on the chair pogo thing.
Yeah.
And the year before that, I think, was Morrison. So, yeah.
Yeah, Morrison did the Spider-Man thing where, like, he jumped onto the barrier and walked across the barrier and jumped from there onto the ring steps.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's always funny when someone does that, and as soon as they get back up on the apron, someone hits them and they get eliminated too. So it's like, what's
the point? That's what happened to Kofi. It was like all that work for absolutely nothing. Right.
Right.
So. But yeah, so then they beat up Drew McIntyre and no one cared. I think in between those two things happening, they showed the Bellas in the back, so they're back now. Which, you know, they're banging two of the biggest stars in the locker room, so what can you do?
I guess porn didn't want them.
Porn didn't want them? No, I don't know.
You porn's that's what like, they meant. I know that we put our stuff up for free, but we can't put you on here.
Yeah, there's no twin magic in this. And then they had Del Rio versus Cesaro. I mean, a lot of these different matches that they've been putting together are just like, there's not a lot of reason behind it. Cesaro still has a belt, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's still United States champion.
And to put their world heavyweight champion up against them, just kind of to do it, just like as, he's still wrestling. See, Mania's coming. I don't know. I don't know what the point is of that.
It also takes away the validity of your U.S. champion if they're losing a lot, because they've done that a lot with champions the last week or so. I think Wade Barrett lost in a match last week. And, like, your champions are losing in matches on TV. So it's just sort of like it takes away the validity of that particular wrestler holding that championship.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
The titles are essentially meaningless now anyways, but still.
Yeah, I've always been huge against that, as like just destroying one title to make another title look good or something like that. It's pretty ridiculous, so.
But it would be different though if it was like Antonio Cesaro versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship, you know?
Right.
But it's like or Alberto Del Rio versus Antonio Cesaro for the US title. You know, but to have them both go in with no title on the line, and it's like, no one really gains here, you know?
Yeah.
If Cesaro wins, Alvaro Del Rio looks like a weak champion. If Del Rio wins, Cesaro looks like a weak champion.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of a lose-lose. They then they did the Randy Orton and Sheamus Team Road Scholars thing, which to me, they initially had said probably a month or so ago that they broke up Road Scholars. They're all done now. And I said, you know, I really just haven't seen any evidence of that. I said, you know, I didn't see the show that they had whatever supposed breakdown. And then they've wrestled on, like, dark matches on pay-per-views. They've wrestled now several different times on Raw since. I don't think they fully broke them up yet. So, again, they wrestle, and I don't know. So,
I like them as a team. I think it would be a mistake to break them up, with the exception of the fact that tag team wrestling is essentially dead. But, like, they've done it. And, I mean, in recent months, it seems like they're trying to revitalize it a little bit, because you put together Rhodes Scholars. You put together Daniel Bryan and Kane. You know, you put together Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. Like, for that tournament a few months ago, they put together some teams that were, you know, pretty interesting. So,
yeah.
I don't know, I was glad that they're sort of doing that. Now you're bringing back the New Age Outlaws, who definitely, you know, considering the fact they're like 50 years old, but they were part of like the biggest era of tag team wrestling. So if anyone's going to help revitalize it, that's them.
Yeah, at least name recognition wise.
Yeah.
Even if
you're
it's
like,
just
oh man,
up younger talent.
You got like Team Rhodes Scholars, and they're wrestling the team of the 90s, you know. Or the 2000s, or like the team of the Attitude Era. So, you know, you have that you have that instant credibility that they're holding their own, or even beating one of the best tag teams of the last 15 years.
Yeah. Yep. Then they did this highlight reel segment, which was fucking horrible.
yeah, it was.
It was just. This is why the fast forward button is made on my DVR remote. So that led to Jericho versus Miz, and then Wade was involved in that. I think it's going to be a three-way on some upcoming thing somewhere. I don't know.
And, you know, I don't believe in Jericho anymore, man, and I'll tell you why. It's like every time he comes back, it's like he's only coming – you know now he's only coming back for a couple of months – until he's got another tour with his shitty band, or another show, another movie coming up. And I'm a metal fan. Some of Fozzy's early stuff is actually pretty good. But it's just like... I don't have a lot of faith in him, because it's like Chris Jericho comes back at Royal Rumble. It's like, I know there's... like when he came back a few years ago, he came in and had this fucking amazing feud with Shawn Michaels, right?
Sure.
And but it's like, you know, you're not going to see anything long term out of him, because chances are he's probably only going to do it for 3 or 4 months, which from a personal standpoint is probably pretty smart for him, because he is getting older, you know, and he's got all these other things he's working on. But still, it's like, it almost like is an insult to us as fans by him saying, I'm coming back, and he's sort of coming back to promote whatever shitty album he has coming out.
Yeah. I mean, he did put on, like I said, a couple weeks ago, he put on a really good match with Daniel Bryan, which kind of shows that, you know, you put him in there with a really good wrestler, he could still wrestle. I just don't know if he's going to be able to commit enough time to an angle and to building a feud or to something that's going to last long enough, like you said, because he's just going to be back on tour or back doing this or that, or fucking being the announcer for Battling Robots on Sci-Fi, which actually isn't a terrible show, but, you know.
The thing with Punk last year, too, was pretty good. And I sort of got turned off the whole Jericho experience. A couple in 2010, Raw was here. And so he did a signing at the local record store. I don't forget what the record store's name was. But he did a signing there. And like I said, I liked his earlier their band's earlier albums and stuff. So like when that album came out, I bought it on iTunes. I put it on my iPod and everything. And so I go there to the signing, and I like go, I know he's coming, so I order a bunch of like photos of him and shit like that off the internet that he can sign.
Right.
And they said, you have to buy an album to get in. It's like, I have the album. Like, I have it right here. I'll show you. And like, you know, you have to buy the CD. Like, you have to buy the CD. He'll sign the CD and one other thing, and he'll take a picture with you, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't care about that, all that stuff, but like, my friend wanted to go, so I went with him. But it's like, wow, it's just like, I bought the album. Like, what's the big deal, you know? And it's just like,
yeah,
it's kind of a dick move. And
yeah, I was going to, back in the day, I was going to go and meet Jericho. They were doing a bunch of Route 18 flea market they had. It was like it's like an indoor flea market up here. Well, it was. It's not anymore. But it was like an indoor flea market, and it was RF video, and I think he was in cahoots with somebody else doing it, and he was doing signings over there, and he was bringing in all sorts of like the like I got RVD down there. He brought in the Hardys. This is when the Hardys were still, you know, big and, you know, Edge and Christian type stuff. They were wrestling, and he brought in the Radicals on one day. Like he brought in, it was like I think like the noon to such and such signing was like Saturn and Guerrero, and then Malenko and Benoit were like later on that day or something like that. But he brought in all four on one day. Like it was pretty big. And then he was bringing in Jericho for one date, and that was when I had gotten really big into CZW. So there was a show that weekend, and I chose CZW over it. So I didn't, that was, I think, 2001. So I didn't, you know, I didn't get a chance to meet him. So I really don't know, you know, how he was personally.
No. Yeah. And I mean, like that was sort of it. So it's like, fuck it. But, I went to, in 1999, WCW Thunder was here. So yeah. There was a couple people. It was Billy Kidman and Wrath were doing a signing at the Circuit City right by my house. So I went up there, and this was like this taping was like the day after the finger poke of doom. You remember that with Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
And so like that, just to give you an idea of when it was. So I was talking to Billy Kidman, because that was like they would tape like 3 weeks of Thunder at one time, and I said, "So Billy, who are you wrestling tonight?" He's like, "I don't fucking know." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't know?" He's like, "It's like, dude, I won't know until 5 minutes before I go out there."
Mm.
And it's just like, you know, you heard those stories about how it went in WCW, but you know, like I was one of those. It's like when you talk to them, that's when you're sort of privy to all that information, like before it became public, you know?
Right.
Like, you didn't start hearing about that till after the company went out of business.
Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff. Then they had a Swagger vs. Sin Cara, which was, you know, something that couldn't do any harm as far as, you know, forwarding the Jack Swagger, let's get these people out of our country angle. You know, kind of the direction they need to go is, you know, the luchas, any luchas they got, feed them to Jack Swagger. And I think that's probably going to, you know, continue to hype them up. I was saying last week when they did the whole USA guys, I was completely for that. I just don't think that they did it right. I think if they had, you know, Slaughter and all those guys and Duggan come out and Dusty and had one of them grab the mic and more or less say, "Listen, you know, I know you keep saying this American, 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 and I don't want these people to think for one second that that's what America's all about, and we're real Americans, and this is, you know, we're for everybody, we're for all the people, not just you people, you know, or anything like that." You know, and pitch some kind of thing, because there are those portions of the crowd that might be like, "Hey, these guys are making a good point," you know, depending on what area they're in. And the last thing you want is Swagger and Zeb Coulter becoming faces with that angle. So I think it would make sense to have guys on the other side of the American, you know, push saying, "Hey, you know, that's not what America's all about," and then have Swagger and then beat him up.
Bring in
Hacksaw
for that. Hacksaw Duggan would be perfect in that thing.
Well, that's what they had. Hacksaw. They had Hacksaw and Dusty and Slaughter.
That's what I'm saying. That Hacksaw cut like a real emotional promo, like he has done in the past there, and like that would be perfect, you know.
Yeah, but they kind of just trotted them out and was like, "What the hell is this all about?" And then Swagger attacked them all with the 2x4, and then they sent them to the locker room. So I got what they should have been going for and what they were going for with those guys, I'm sure, but they just didn't really execute it. So again, back to the luchas getting handed to Swagger, and that'll work. But
if this was 10 years ago, they probably would have referred to Sin Cara as a wetback.
Yeah, they're not that far off
No, not really. Like, they're essentially saying that stuff without physically saying that stuff.
Yeah. So then they had the no DQ main event of Kane and CM Punk, and, you know, did the whole thing. Kane's super mad about the everything he did. Punk ends up attacking Kane with the urn, beating him down, and stealing the urn. And definitely, you know, pouring more gas on the fire. I was laughing my ass off when he was at the top of the ramp and he does the Undertaker pose with the urn. I'm like, oh, this is just great. I mean, this is definitely headed exactly where you want this to go. Like,
it's definitely building up the right heat for this match, which is what you need with CM Punk, because, like, you know he's not going to win, right?
Right.
And yeah. Which will mean, you know, like, 3 pay-per-view losses in a row. And then he lost this match, but, you know, he sort of got the better of it all together. But it's like, in this case, that's what you need when someone's wrestling The Undertaker, is you need the build-up to be fucking phenomenal.
Right, yeah.
Because it's a foregone conclusion that The Undertaker's going to win. And if The Undertaker is ever going to lose at WrestleMania, which I don't think will happen, it doesn't need to be to a guy like Kane, or CM Punk, I mean. It needs to be to, like this guy who's, like, just on the cusp of going from, like, mid-card to main event. Someone like not Wade Barrett exactly, but someone at, like, that level, where they've been, like, Intercontinental Champion a couple times and need something to go over the hump to the next level, that's the guy that should beat The Undertaker.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't be incredibly shocked if they did Punk, because they've done a lot with Punk, giving him that long run. I really don't think they're going to do it, but in the same token, you know, he already went 21-0. No one's going to touch that. You know, if he goes 20-1, I don't know if it really blemishes much. You could be all the way undefeated, or you can go 20 straight. Yeah, I don't know how much difference that makes, but
the streak is the only thing, and almost the only thing that they have that still means anything.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
you know, it's like the only thing that, like, everybody respects so far as the company goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. But I think they're definitely going a great route with this angle, and Punk stealing the urn is a... They haven't used that as a power source for The Undertaker for years and years.
No, not since, like, pre-Attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They mentioned it, like, oh, you know, that's kind of like the power source for The Undertaker and Kane. And it's like, wait, what?
Once they sort of made The Undertaker human and made it like he wasn't, like, he, you know, like, basically they would use the way they use the urn, and he'd pop up and Bobby Heenan would say, he's not human. Like, when they stopped doing stuff like that, the urn was no longer a power source.
Right. Yeah,
Once he was beatable.
I mean, when he's an American badass, he could have had, like, the urn strapped in a baby seat on the back of the bike, you know? Like, he could have kept it going.
So.
But, yeah, that was the whole show, and...
Hey, what do you think of Bully Ray being the TNA champion?
I don't. I got nothing. I don't know. I could really give a fuck about TNA. Every once in a while, my dude Jeez will be on it, and he'll be like, "Yo, I'm on Impact," and I'll be like, "All right, I'll check it out." So I'll go watch it.
I put it on
that.
During my show, but that's about it. Just because I just have something on that I don't need to pay attention to, but I can look
I
up every.
I used to do
sport.
That. Yeah, I used to do that when I was on Thursdays, and every once in a while, I'd pause and go, "Hey, what the fuck is this?"
I'd glance up and be like,
"And who the fuck is that guy?" You know, like, all right,
yeah.
Then.
Well, and,
that looks like shit, just like random comments.
From what I saw of it, though, and it's almost like Bully Ray has, like, he got a real old school kind of heat and promo kind of deal out of that, too. Like, the whole, I think he said to, who would believe that any man would want to fuck Brooke Hogan, first of all. But
right.
He was like, I used you and then I screwed you. And it was like, it really is kind of an old school heelish thing to do. So in that regard, it was kind of cool, but, you know.
Brooke Hogan looks like Brooke Hogan looks like Roger from American Dad when he dresses up like a chick. That's That's what I've always compared her to. She's got that big giant head on her.
Yeah, she—I mean, no one will ever accuse her of being adopted. She if you put fucking a wig and makeup on Hogan, you have her exactly.
Yeah, she's got a lot of that horrible Linda look too.
Yeah.
Oh, what can you do? But yeah, man. I don't know. You know, if you got anything else, I know you—you know—you got an early morning. I don't want to keep you up after night, but.
Yeah, I got to call Tabitha back, actually. She called me while we were on. Tabitha Stevens is going to get an award for her podcast at Rick's Cabaret in New York on this coming Tuesday.
Is Ricky Mann going to be there?
No, because they got the they got AGT in San Antonio and then the block party in Jamaica. So he's not going to be there. If I didn't just start a job and was still training, I would be there, but I'm not going to be able to.
All right.
So I was invited, but I can't make it. And but you know, she's a friend of ours, so I want to make sure that she gets that information gets out there. If you're in New York and you want to see her next week, go to Rick's Cabaret Tuesday night. Again, they're honoring her podcast. I believe they're calling it Sexiest Podcast right now. So check her out too, because you'll hear him mention Stern Nation, which is on Thursday. It's 8:30. sternnationpodcast.com, or my own bio, which is andrewisanasshole.com. And the apps. Did you know that we have apps?
No.
We have apps for Android and iPhone.
Stitchers and fucking everything.
Yeah, well, we have our own app on the podcast box on iTunes and on Android.
Wow.
So with those apps, what we're doing, in addition to having our regular show up there, is Stephanie and I are just doing a bonus show or so a week, because you can do like exclusive bonus content.
Right.
So we're just doing that. Like we do one where we talk about a couple of our favorite TV shows. We're probably going to do something coming up where we watch, where we put up the Lisa G Fine Time, and I let Stephanie answer the questions the way that Lisa would if she was being honest about it.
That sounds
so
cool.
You know, so, you know, a lot of good stuff that's going on there. And
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. So, thanks for coming on for a bit. Good to have you. And not a problem. Definitely talk to you soon. And everybody,
you know,
check out Stern Nation.
This little community of ours that I feel like I can 100% trust. So anytime you need me to help you with anything, you know I'm there.
Ah, thank you, man. But, just keep in touch as always, and everybody check out Stern Nation tomorrow night, man.
All right, man. And call in again sometime. We haven't talked to you on there in a while.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm just like beating the shit out of myself in the gym to keep myself out of trouble. So I'm just tired as hell by the time these shows come around.
Yeah.
I'm an archive guy.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. All right, brother. Well, I'll talk to you later on.
Yep. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. All right, there you go, Andrew from Stern Nation. We got to, you know, do some time chat with him. Haven't had him on in a while for any length of time. So, I'm going to take a break, play a track, and come back. I got to review this February CZW show. I'm going to leave the PWG alone again. I'm telling you, this gem, man, I'm going in. And I got to tell you something else I'm going to get into, too. Coming up in June, even though it's, you know, a while away, but it's something I'm going towards. I got to talk about Dennis Rodman. I got to talk about some NFL stuff that's going on and a few more other things. So I throw this track down, and then I'll be back.
This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, not back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, not back to the G's.
Free. Had ease. Now let me drop some more of them keys. It's 199 Trey, so let me just play. It's Snoop Dogg, I'm on the mic, I'm back with Dr. Dre. But this time, I'm gonna hit your ass with a touch to leave motherfuckers in the days fucked.
up. So sit back, relax, New Jack, get smacked. It's Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'm at the top of the stack. I don't black for a second, and I'm still checking. The dopest motherfucker that you're hearing on the record is me, you see. S-N-O-O-P-D-O-G-G-Y, the D-O-G-G. I'm fly as a falcon, soaring through the sky. And I'm high till I desire, so check it, I get busy, I make your head dizzy. I blow up your mouth like I was Dizzy Gillespie. I'm crazy, you can't faze me. I'm the S, oh yes, I'm fresh, I don't fuck with the stress. I'm all about the chronic, bionic, you see. Every single day chillin' with the D-O-double-G. P-O-U-N-D, that's my clique, my crew. You fuck with us, we got to fuck you up. I thought you knew, but yet you see. You wanna get real, now it's time to feel. You say chill and feel. The motherfucking realism, Snoop Doggy Dogg is on the mic. I'm hitting hard as steel, nigga.
This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's.
How many hoes in your motherfucking group? Wanna take a ride in my 7-8 coupe? DB, chill as I take you on a trip where them niggas ride and slide. You know about the east side. Niggas like myself here to show you where it's at. With my hoes on my side and my strap on my back. Papers I stack daily. And Death Row is still the label that pays. But you know how that go. We flow toe for toe. If you ain't on the road, fuck you and your hoe. Really though, so check it. It's Snoop Doggy Dogg on the solo tip. Steel clocking, gripping, don't really give a shit about nothing at all. Just my dog stepping through the fog. And I'm still gonna fade them all with the gangster shit that keeps you hanging. How many hoes in 94 will I be banging? Every single one to get the job done. As I dip, skip, flip right back to 2-1. When the sun be shining and I'll be rhyming, it's me, Snoopy O-double-G, and I'm climbing.
This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's.
I come creeping through the fog with my sagging deuce. Eastside Long Beach in a 7-8 coupe TV. I'm rolling with the G-funk, bumping in my shit, and it don't quit. So drop it on the one, motherfucker, put together that shit. A nigga with a grip of that gangster shit. With the Eastside hoes on my motherfucking dick. And the Compton niggas all about the set trip. Swing it back, bring it back just like this. And if you with my shit, then blaze up another split. And keep the motherfucking blunt in your pocket low. Cause Doggy Dogg is all about the zigzag smoke. See, it's a West Coast thing where I'm from. And if you want some, get some. Bad enough, take some. But watch the gun by my side. Because it represents me and the motherfucking Eastside. So bow down to the bow wow, cause bow wow, yippee-yo. You can't see my flow. My shit is dope, original. Now you know and can't no hood fuck with Death Row.
This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all, back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. So I'm back. So I want to get into a little bit about this. Like I said, let on before, you know, going crazy in the gym and all this stuff. Well, what it is, you know, I'm now going on, well, come up like Sunday, it'll be 3 weeks I haven't drinking. So I've been replacing that with just intaking all things positive as far as, you know, food, drink, that type of stuff. Well, not even food wise, just like protein, the wheatgrass, like all that stuff. I also figured out that I just figured out today that I can use the carnivore chocolate shit that I was saying last week is fucking horrendous. If I mix it with the Muscle Farm banana shit that I got, that's off the chain. So now I got the chocolate covered banana type proteins. If I mix one and the other, and then I can get through that big ass jug of bullshit that I got under there. So that works. Then and then tomorrow, instead of the gym, I'm gonna come home and I'm gonna do the battle ropes, because those things are crazy. So I'm gonna go in with those and do a bunch of other just home training shit, and then Friday back to the gym. And another thing, I've always had problems sleeping. And, you know, when I was drinking, well, you just turned it up and try to drink yourself to sleep and that type of thing, which is really probably the furthest thing from healthy. And then, you know, I've tried the whole, like, NyQuil thing. Then they make, like, a NyQuil that's not for night for sickness. It's just for going to sleep. But it's, again, probably really not good for you. The Z-Quil. It's just like, you're not sick, but you want to knock yourself out with chemicals. So have at this purple shit. So, you know, there was that. I was doing that for a while, you know, probably still not the best ever. So then I started getting into, you know, reading up on stuff. I tried the melatonin, but that, you know, stopped working after a little while. So I tried a few other things. People were saying the Marley's Mellow Mood works. So I ended up ordering that and got some of that. And that shit actually does work. Especially initially, if you try some of that shit, the Marley's Mellow Mood, it works. If you ever listen to that John Gray show, he's a cool dude. He's out from like where Drake and him's from. And he would pitch this shit on his show, and it would sound like this. Marley's Mellow Mood, man. Gotta get it, man. It's good for you. Take it right down. Put you in a mellow mood. Marley's Mellow Mood. I think he had like a sponsorship from this shit at some point. So, this shit works. So, you know, initially it worked. It knocked me the fuck out. So then, of course, you know, you build your tolerance up because you do it a few times and then it doesn't work as well. Then I got on some other shit from Joe Rogan. It's some, like, new mood shit. So what I decided to do is I just read into these ingredients and then just get more pure versions of that, you know, so I could just go with the ingredients of that, you know, be like a fucking herbal chemist before sleep and shit, and then I'll mix up something and then just put myself out that way. So that's what I'm heading towards now. I had to order a bunch of stuff. I do got the one thing now. So pretty much what it is, if you're looking to do the same thing I'm doing as far as going to sleep on some natural shit, a couple things to look for is valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, and melatonin is another good thing to add. And then the mood shit, the positive or whatever the fuck medication fucking herbal shit that's in there in the mood shit is 5-HTP, and you can get that shit by itself. And then L-Trilofan, and you can get that shit by itself. So if you get those two things and then load up on the other, you know, chamomile, valerian root, and a little melatonin and shit, that shit should work fucking wonders. So anyway, that's that. I signed up for 5K. It's called the Foam Fest. And it's got a lot of like soap foam type shit. But on top of that, it's got like a bunch of mud. It's a 5K, so there's that. But then there's a lot of like walls to climb and like big shit to climb and like those like tangled rope things you got to like weave your way through. And it seems like a lot of shit. So they go all over the country and they're doing a tri-state thing, like the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania joint, and it's happening over here in Englishtown on June 22nd. So I'm actually all signed up for that shit. I'm going at like 11:20 is my run time or whatever, because they got all sorts of different times. I just decided I wanted something to like strive towards, you know what I mean? Because I ain't got nothing to like compete for. Like I get up, I go to work, if I can come home, try to knock my shit out, you know, eat. Try to knock my shit out after the gym and go to sleep and then go to work the next day. And then Sunday, it's like, all right, this is my one day off. What am I going to do? But it'd be nice to have something to actually strive for a little bit, something to compete, you know, and, you know, put all the work towards. So I figure I'll do that. Yeah, it looks, you know, like it's got some challenge to it, and at the same time, it'll be fun. So it's not far from where I'm at, you know, maybe a half hour, 40 minutes tops. In Englishtown, and yeah, so I'm gonna do that. Anybody else want to get on that? I mean, this shit looks like fun, so I'm doing that. So to prepare for that, I did, as soon as I signed up the next day, signed up 2 days ago yesterday, I went to the gym and hit 3K or 5K on the treadmill straight off, you know what I mean? So definitely know I can do that shit straight. It's just a matter of, you know, the climbing and, you know, going through mud and all this crazy other shit. And, you know, and doing it at a better pace. So from now till June 22nd, I got all sorts of time to just get my shit fucking right. And, yeah, I expect to be pretty scary by then. So it's pretty good, man, because I'm definitely heading in a direction I've never really done before with all this. I'm sorry if all this is boring, but, so that's what I'm doing. All right. That's that. Oh, let me go into the NFL stuff a little bit. Crazy deals going on all over the place. We got Bolden. We got Anquan Bolden the other day for a 6th-round draft pick, which anybody out there that knows football knows that shit is crazy. Anquan Bolden was one of the star, I'd say the star wide receiver on the Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens that beat us in the bowl. And they traded him to us for a 6th-round draft pick. Now, I know they need money. They needed some cap room and stuff, but a 6th-round draft pick, I mean, dude, we got, before I think that trade, we had like 12 draft picks. So, including 2nd rounds, 3rd rounds, you know, like those type of things. To let him go for a 6th-round draft pick, I mean, that's almost just like a straight-up gift from John Harbaugh to Jim Harbaugh. That's all I can think of, but we got a solid-ass wide receiver right there. Unfortunately, we let Deshaun Goldson go. He just signed with the Bucks today for like some crazy dough. I'm trying to see what he actually signed for. Shit. It was too early, so it's now not on my my updates thing anymore because so many people are getting signed. Reggie Bush signed with the Lions today. What else happened? Wes Welker left the Patriots and joined the Broncos today. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, you know, we traded Alex Smith. That got us another, you know, high 2nd-round pick. We got rid of Isaac Sopawaga. Not really sure why we needed to do that. I mean, he was an 8-year veteran with us, so, you know, he's an Eagle now, which means he's dead to me. But, you know, who else? Oh, Delanie Walker, too. We let him go, too. You know, so, I mean, what can you do? Guys like David Akers and Randy Moss that I could give a fuck about. They could leave, and I really don't give a fuck what they do. But, you know, those other guys are definitely guys I enjoyed seeing on my team. Obviously, I knew Alex Smith had to go because he deserves a starting job somewhere. Not with us. Our guy is fucking Colin Kaepernick, so there's no maybes about that. But, yeah, there's a lot of things going to go on, and a lot of guys are going to get moved around this league. There's definitely rumors that we could wind up with Ed Reed. We actually also had Charles Woodson visit San Francisco today, so I don't know how that turned out. If anything's going to come out of that. Okay, here I got it. Deshaun Goldson signed a 5-year deal worth $41.25 million, including a $22 million guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, the dude had 69 tackles and 3 interceptions for us last year. I mean, he's one of those dudes. He comes out of nowhere. This dude hits hard as hell. So, I mean, I'm really glad for him, you know, getting that money, and they're definitely going to enjoy him over there in Tampa Bay. Go from, you know, a bay on one side to a bay on the other side. But I say good for him. I'm glad because other rumors were that he could go to the Eagles, and like I said, if you go there, you're dead to me. So, I'm glad that didn't happen because I do like Deshaun Goldson. I'm also glad that I didn't get his jersey because I was actually very close to doing so last year. So, like I said, a lot of stuff being moved around. It's just getting started. I know you guys are – thought football talk was all gone from my mouth. Unfortunately, no. And the Heat are still streaking. The Heat are still on their winning streak. Unfucking stoppable. So, that's what's up. You're going to continue to hate me through these fucking playoffs. And, you know, I'm not as aggressive about it as I am with the Niners. But, you know, being a Heat fan, I'm definitely on the side that most people don't want to hear about. Because, you know, I mean, they're the best team in the NBA. They've now officially beaten every single team in the NBA this year. And I think they're on a 19-game winning streak. So, you know, I mean, we have games where Mario Chalmers is our high scorer. Then LeBron will take over a night. Then D-Wade will take over a night. We got Ray Allen that just any given time could light up from three, and you got issues. I mean, it's just Bosh doing his thing. There's too much there. There's just too much there. It's a shame. And then Amari Stoudemire just got himself hurt for a while now, so he's going to be out till pretty much like playoff time. The Knicks are beat. There's even some realistic Knicks fans that are, you know, admitting to that. All right, let me talk about a douchebag. Speaking of basketball, Dennis Rodman. For those who have not heard, he decided that he wanted to make some friends, so he went over to North Korea and decided he wanted to be friends with Kim Jong Un. So I'm going to play this interview that he did with dude that you know, wanted to question him about it. I said dude because I forget the guy's name. I think it's like George Snuffleupagus or Stephanopoulos or, you know what I mean? Like one of these guys. So, fucking idiot. So anyway, but check this out. And, I mean, it's comical how ignorant this motherfucker is. So just listen, man. I had to play this.
Dennis Rodman joins us right now. I guess you don't find it scary.
No, it's not scary. It's amazing, man. Wow, man. You know what? It was such a great experience. Me and my, I called him my son, Elkin King. We went there, man, and it wasn't supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be like, you know, just meet the guy and just have a good time.
And it turned into such an event. And I have to ask you first, when you said you love Kim and think he's awesome, were you aware of his threats to destroy the United States and his regime's horrendous record on human rights?
But one thing about that, you know what? I didn't look at all that right there. I understand what he's doing. I don't condone that. I hate the fact that he's doing that. But the fact of it is that, you know what? As a human being, though, he let his guards down. He did one thing to me, been a friend. I didn't talk about that. I understand that.
Do you think you have a responsibility to ask him about it so that you don't be perceived as sort of propping up his regime, his cult of personality?
Well, so I think when you grow up in an environment, especially when your grandpa and your father, the one thing, the kid's only 28 years old.
You called them great leaders. Do you really believe that?
No, what I saw in that country, and I saw how people respect him and his family, that's what I mean about that.
Aren't
great
they
leaders
forced
there.
To? Huh? Aren't they forced to?
Well, I say no, because I think he's going to change something, because he says a different view. Because I sat with him for 2 days, and the one thing, he asked me to give Obama something to say and do one thing. He wants Obama to do one thing, call him.
He wants a call from President Obama?
That's right. He told me that. He said, if you can, Dennis, I don't want to do war. I don't want to do war. He said that to me.
Did you say, why don't you pick up the phone and call President Obama?
No, you know, it's a different story. It's a different story because guess what? The kid's only 28 years old. 28. He's not his dad. Not his grandpa. He's 28 years old.
So you think he's different. What did he tell you about America and what did you learn about him?
Guess what? The one thing I said to him, I said, we talked about it, if you see the clips or whatever, he loves basketball.
Uh-huh.
I said the same thing I said. Obama loves basketball.
Oh.
Let's start there. If you see the quotes in the papers, he says that. He says that by sports. Both of you guys love basketball so much.
So that's one tiny bit of common ground. Did you get any sense from him that he was looking to change the relationship with the United States?
Well, one thing about him, one thing I noticed about him, he's very humble. He's very humble, man. As a kid, he's very humble. He's very strong as a man. He's very strong, but guess what? He don't want war. That's one thing he don't want.
He said in the past that he would destroy the United States.
Well, I think that's coming from his father. I think as a young man, he don't want anything.
What else does he know about the United States and President Obama from what you could tell?
Well, I can tell about him. He does one thing. He loves power. He loves control because of his, you know, dad. Stuff like that, but he's a great guy. He's just a great guy. If you sit down and talk to him, you know, perception is perceiving how things
work. A great guy who puts 200,000 people in prison camps?
Well, you know, and guess what? It's amazing how we do the same thing here.
We have prison camps here in the
United States? We don't have prison camps. Guess what? This is all politics, right? This is all politics, right? And the one thing, he don't want to do that. He don't want to do that. But you know what, dude? It's more like it. I'm not like a diplomat. I don't want to do that.
But it sounds like you're apologizing for him.
No, I'm not apologizing for him. I think the fact that, you know, he's a good guy to me. Guess what? He's my friend. Guess what? I don't condone what he does, but as far as a person to person, he's my friend. But as far as what he does,
but
he can deal with it.
Someone who hypothetically is a murderer, who's your friend, is still a murderer.
Well, you know what, dude? Guess what? Guess what? What I did was history. It's history, and guess what? It's just like we do over here in America, right? It's amazing that we have presidents over here do the same thing, right? It's amazing that Bill Clinton could do one thing, have sex with his secretary and do one thing and really get away with it and still be powerful. And
how
that's
can
amazing.
You compare that to prison camps?
No, prison camp do one thing. We don't need to do one thing. Object that. We don't need to object that. Guess what? We do one thing. If, like a friend to friend, right? It's a friend to friend. He's a friend to me. That's about it.
So you're going
to
go back?
Yes, I am. I'm going to go back, do one thing, and find out more what's really going on. Find out more.
Okay, next time you go back, you should bring this report from the Human Rights Watch with you and maybe ask some questions about that as well. You might learn a lot more, and it might press him as well. But thank you for coming on this morning and sharing your impressions.
Right, either way, guess what, though?
Here's the report.
Guess what? Thank you for the report.
Okay.
Guess what? Don't hate me. Don't hate me.
Okay. So, guess what? Dennis Rahm is a douchebag. Yo, hold up. So, this guy goes and hangs out with the motherfucker that's like, I want to blow your fucking country up. And then you ask him about it, he's like, yo, you know, what about the fact that he hates America and wants to blow that shit up? And he goes, well, you know, I'm not happy that he wants to do that, but he's my boy. Like, it's like if you're friends with somebody that, you know, it's your boy and everything, but, you know, the dude smokes way too much weed and drinks hard liquor all the time and just gets out of control. A lot of times you hang with him. And it's just like, you know, I don't like that he does that, but that's my boy. You know how he gets. It's like that's how he's making it sound as far as, like, this guy wants to blow the fucking whole country off the map, but yeah, you know, that's my boy. I mean, you know, I hate that he does that shit. You know, him with the blowing the country up, that's one of the, I'd rather he didn't do that. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, he's going to use his own man. This guy's a jerk off. And then, like, every time they're like, you know, what about the hundreds of thousands of people that are trapped in prison camps in his country? And he goes, well, you know. You know, come on with that in the prison camps. What about the fact that he's a murderer? You know, what are you bringing that up for? Hey, he's still my boy. He's my friend. He's my friend. But you know what? Guess what? He likes basketball. I don't give a fuck if he likes basketball. He wants to blow our fucking country up, you idiot. I don't understand. I've never liked Dennis Rodman. I think he's an asshole. His whole career is built off of getting rebounds and doing, like, fucking splits midair so he can kick people in the chest. Oh, people will back off him because he flares his fucking legs out. You come anywhere near trying to him boxing you out, you're getting kicked in the chest and chin and shit. He would do, like, that crazy fucking skateboarder move shit where he throws his legs to the left and right. He kicked the shit out of people, so they backed off him when he went up for rebounds, and he got a lot of them. He was, you know, like another one of these NBA bullies was never really a scorer that was worth shit. And you know, and then he just got off on shock value, running around with fucking all sorts of fucking wedding dresses and this and that. You know, fuck Madonna. I mean, he did everything he had to do to just get fucking attention for his bitch ass. Now, I really wish he would paint those leopard spots back on his head that would give something for the fucking... American soldiers to shoot at when he goes the fuck back over there, and then they have to move in, and the fucking worm is chilling next to the fucking prezo over there, the fucking dictator, whatever they call it. so they could put a couple bullets in the fucking leopard spots on his bitch-ass head. I just don't understand it. And guess what? Guess what? He said, all I want Obama to do is tell him call me. And then he's like, yeah, he's only 28. Kid's only 28. So this little 28-year-old motherfucker is allowed to just demand that our president hollers at him so he doesn't blow our shit up. Fuck you, motherfucker. And Dennis Rodman, he's my friend. He's my friend. Oh, my God. There is not a better plane crash that could happen. It's like if Rodman's coming into North Korea and he just, plane goes offline and just, crashes into his boy Kim Jong-un's house and they all die in a burning fucking fiery crash. Like, I got no value for that dude's life at all. Like, he's just a piece of shit. And he thinks this shit's a joke. He's just, it's like, dog, he wants to blow your house and everybody else's house up. That crazy guy, sometimes, what are you going to do? I'd rather he didn't do that, but, sometimes you got to do that. So, I don't know. I don't like motherfuckers. So, anyway, let me go into this CZW February show. I also have the March show, but I haven't gotten into watching that yet. So I think next week I should be able to do the March show and the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show that I keep meaning to do, but I got to rewatch the second half of that, and I haven't had the chance to because, like I said, I'm getting myself fucking crazy busy during the day, and at nighttime I'm spending most of my time trying to go to sleep, not trying to even, fuck around and watch shit. And if I watch shit when I'm tired, I don't retain any of it. So try to actually watch more bullshit than something I'm actually trying to keep track of and notes or whatever. So anyway, the show started out with DJ talking a lot. So fast forward. Then AR Fox beat Rich Swann. These two guys are two of the most talented high flyers in the business. I mean, straight up, really, really need to be signed. I think we all know there's something that'll probably keep the one dude from being signed for a while. Maybe not. I mean, honestly, TNA, I think, just cut a chick for doing, like, straight porn. Like, you know what I mean? So, and that's TNA. So, I don't know. I always kind of think that's going to be something that holds dude back. I don't know if it is. I mean, if it isn't, whatever. I mean, the dude's tremendously talented, and I'd definitely like to see that type of talent on my TV. So, I mean, if he can get past that, great. That's one thing that I think I wouldn't be surprised if this was one of those dudes that, 10, 15 years down the road, the dude's still wrestling and still hasn't got signed. It's not a guy like, Punk before he got signed, or Hero before he got signed, and I'm like, dude, why has this guy not gotten signed yet? He just looks like he will work in the company, and I'd like, this guy looks like he would fit in that mold, and or there'd be a place for him. That's not a guy that I'm going to be really, really surprised about down the road if he doesn't. I mean, there's a lot of hate and criticism, and they go deep into your resume to figure out if they want your shit part of their brand. So I guess we'll see down the road. Swan ain't got none of that on his shoulders, I know that much, and the dude's tremendously talented. Like I said, they both are, but that match is just unreal. And then when you go into it and you're like, oh wow, Dragon Gate did that a bunch of times, and Evolve did that shit, and like, it takes all this time for DJ to pull the trigger on this shit. Why? Fucking why? And then now, I don't know if these guys had, scheduling conflicts or had somewhere to be later that night or something like that, but why do you not semi-main with that fucking match? Like, why? What would keep you from wanting to put that towards the end of your show? I mean, a hot opener? Like, if that's just a management decision on where that match belongs on your card, then it's retarded. I mean, if they had somewhere to go or you had to put that in that spot because, that was the only way you can get it off, then fine, man. What am I going to do? But I don't like when people put matches on the early going of a card. If you should, as the owner or booker of a company, know that there's not going to be guys outperforming that shit later on. So that, I mean, that's just one of those things that I don't like. So, you know, but again, I mean, if that's the only way you could do it, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know these fucking guys' schedules or what's what, but, great match. A lot of fun to watch, you know, high spots everywhere. And it was just nonstop action. So, you had, best of the best qualifier, and it was Shane Hollister and Shane Strickland winning simultaneously, both getting in over Latin Dragon and Colin Delaney to both get in the best of the best. Even though Shane Hollister has been around for a while, I really hadn't seen a lot of the dude up until recently, you know, in CZW booking him. And I like the dude. I think he's got some pretty innovative stuff offensively. He's different than a lot of the other, you know, high-flying type talents. I think he fits well into the company. I think they could do a lot with him. You know, he gets used to the talent that he's working and stuff like that and get some chemistry with somebody, get some kind of, you know, good couple months feud or something, back and forth matches. I think he could be pretty good, you know, in the long run for CZW. Shane Strickland, you know, he just keeps getting better and better. So, you know, him going into best of the best, you know, I'm sure he's going to do his thing. Latin Dragon has been looking really good. You know, he went down to Mexico with Masada. He's another guy who keeps improving. Colin Delaney, I haven't seen much of him as of recently. I think he was on like the January show and I saw a little bit of him there, but, he's looking like a whole different dude from the guy that was on WWE TV. And before that, he was, you know, the Olsen twin. And I always thought the Olsen twins are a really good tag team too. So yeah, I mean, it's good to see him back around. I'd like to see him find some kind of identity too. I never know how to feel about these dudes that kind of drift in and out. And then they, you know, wind up in random tag team matches and then they'll throw them into a big cluster, you know, a qualifier or light heavyweight match, and then they'll disappear. And I don't know if they're just space fillers or if they're actually trying to do something with them. It's really hard to put identities on guys, especially in the, you know, like CZW, who have consistent problems with consistent booking. So, you know, I guess it is what it is there, but yeah, I mean, not a terrible match. Definitely set up, you know, these two guys going towards best of the best, and I got a little bit in between there and now, so or now and then, I should say, including the March show that I haven't watched yet. Next up was Drake versus Alex Colon. I thought this was a good match. I think Drake is definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the best wrestler that Drake Younger has ever been. He's so much faster. He's so much more well-rounded and able to really, really keep up with these light guys. He's now one of these light guys. He was always able to keep pretty good speed with these guys, but you would always see just kind of like a half step missing from where, you know, I mean, Drake was always such a hybrid wrestler where he'd be in, you know, a tournament of death. And, you know, he would go and he'd wrestle Nick Gage for, you know, heavyweight title type stuff. He'd wrestle, you know, Ego, he'd wrestle this guy. Well, I don't even want to say Ego because, you know, Ego does a ton of flying stuff too. You know, Drake would go in there and he'd wrestle, you know, anybody, you know, like world title situation and then the death matches, and then he could do that like lightweight type stuff. But if you were to put Drake just into a match with say like an AR Fox or one of those guys, it wouldn't have been as good as it would be now because he's so much quicker and so much more, you know, up to speed with that type of wrestling. And now he's over there working Gorilla and stuff like that. And I mean, he worked B-Boy over there, I believe. I can't remember for some reason, I can't remember that match because I do try to keep up to date with the Gorilla stuff. And I got to go back and see if I can watch that match again because I think when he came in, it was against B-Boy. And I got to go back and find and watch that match again because the shape he's in now, I mean, you've seen the matches he had with B-Boy in CZW, and they were awesome. But imagine how much quicker he is now and how much better they'd be now. So, I mean, it's really cool to see Drake in these type of situations. He went over Alex. They had later in that night, figured out he got dizzy and everything, apparently caught a concussion sometime in that match. But yeah, good stuff. Alex is another guy who's just leaps and bounds better than he used to be. You know, than he started out, he just keeps getting better and better. So, you know, I mean, they do have a lot of guys that are on the horizon and really at a spot where they need to be handled right. There needs to be something done right with these guys in order to go forward and make CZW look good as a whole. It's not that they don't have the talent, and honestly, I don't think that was ever the case. When DJ decided to skip Best of the Best 10, what would have been Best of the Best 10, I completely disagreed with it. I went on the show and completely disagreed with that, was the fact that that was absolute bullshit. I thought it was bullshit, and I think DJ even came on my show at the time and said that he didn't think that they had proper talent in order to put Best of the Best on. And I went across a whole bunch in the locker room that was there that could have put on a fucking Best of the Best. They completely took that year off, which I thought was stupid. I thought that was completely fucking stupid and kind of disrespectful to the talent that's in the locker room. Because if you're saying, oh, I can't book nobody from Japan, or I can't book this guy, or I can't book that guy, so I'm just calling the whole tournament off. I mean, that's sleeping on guys like AR Fox, like Rich Swann. Like, these guys were in the fucking locker room at the time. But he was too busy sleeping on that other companies are main eventing with, because he was worried about Japan, or he's worried about what other, you know, Gabe was doing or whatever else was going on. And I really thought that was a terrible, terrible idea at the time. So, again, I mean, these are the talented guys that were there then. They're the talented guys that are there now, and only that much better. So, anyway. So then you had up next Sammy and LaFisto versus Adam Cole and Jessica Havoc. Speaking of Drake is slimmed down. Sammy seems to be going in the other direction. I'm hoping this is like a brief thing, and Sammy's going to get back into top shape as well. I mean, he's not, you know, way out of control or anything like that, but he definitely has packed on a few pounds. So I'd like to see him the super quick, super aggressive Sammy Callahan of old. Definitely don't want to see him lose a step at all. And then it was him and LaFisto against Adam Cole and Jessica Havoc. This match was all right. You know, they played so much into the whole, you know, dude on chick thing, and Sammy and Jessica with tons of, you know, ring work against each other, and I don't know. I just wasn't that thrilled with this match. And was what it was. But Sammy and LaFisto went over. Then you had the catalyst of Dustin Rhodes and Eric Rowan beat the Nation of Intoxication, Danny Havoc and Lucky, and the Ohio's for Killers. This was the match where the Blackout ended up coming in, interfering, stealing the belts, all that. So you had kind of like a weird finish situation. And it was a decent match, but I mean, the whole match existed in order to, you know, continue the Blackout angle and stuff, which is fine. But I mean, I've said this a million times, when you do these angles where it takes a guy off of the card, it takes talented wrestlers off the card as wrestlers to do run-ins for several months in a row, it kind of hurts. I mean, I don't think there's any injuries going on that's keeping these guys out of there. I just think it's, you know, another classic example of a CZW take him out of the ring angle in order to further an angle. I mean, you see what happened when they did that with Joker, and that was pretty much the last we saw of Joker. So, you know, a lot of things can be fucked up that way. And if you go too far with it, you can blow it. And I just hope they execute it well and we get back to, you know, quality matches and Blackout having great fucking matches with guys like the fucking Ohio's for Killers and this Catalyst team that seems pretty good from, you know, what I see. Again, I haven't seen a whole lot of anything of Eric Ryan. Just this match and seemed to do well for himself. But, yeah, I'd like to see the tag team division really heat up and see a lot of, like, really intense matches between these guys. You know, I'm okay with building and stuff, but, you know, enough of the building. Let's get some fucking serious tag team fucking wrestling in here. Like, some high-impact, fucking fast-moving, you know, I'd like to see some good shit like that. So, I'm just impatient. You know, some people might be completely fine with it as long as they want to draw it out or anything, but I'm always some, like, bring it right now shit. Like I said a couple shows ago, you can act like you got 6 months or a year to execute stuff, and CCW's blown it many and many a times doing that very, very same thing. And it doesn't work because half the time, like, you could be thinking you're building something, someone else will pull the trigger on the angle first, or, you know, or, you know, these guys will book against those guys on another card in another company, and they'll be like, oh, well, there goes that. CCW shit doesn't look cool anymore. And, or, you know, someone will get signed or someone will get hurt. And now that whole thing gets scrapped because it was, you know, 3 or 4 months leading to what never happened. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you really got to get off the ground. You got to put on the best wrestling shows you can month in and month out. It's an indie company. This isn't the fucking WWE. You can't build for 4 months when people are paying $30 to sit front row every month. You know, you're trying to sell pay-per-views, or going to with RF and all that. We'll pay $15 this month and next month and next month and next month. What if, you know, what if their favorite team is the Blackout? They're paying $15 to see a run in, steal the belts and run off. I mean, it's cool. It's a good angle in order to get these guys, you know, the face is all fired up and force them into a situation where they got to wrestle them or something. But I just like to see the trigger pulled on this and actually get it going. So anyway, DJ comes out to talk more. I know no one saw that coming. Then Greg Excellent defeated Chrissy Rivera in a Fans Bring the Food ultra-violent food fight. This was just a goofy match. It was just a completely goofy match. You know, I mean, I don't think anyone expected anything different than that. So I guess it was what it was supposed to be. I don't want to completely shit on it. And I don't want to say that it was the best thing in the world, because I don't think it was really meant to be either, you know? So, Greg's a very entertaining wrestler. I love that he came out today. Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, they did some little spots in there, and, you know, Fans Bring the Food. I don't know. Probably just not my type of thing. Chris Brooks beat Alexander James. I think this dude... I want to say Chris Brooks is one of those Fight Club pro guys. I could be wrong. Well, I don't watch those guys anymore. I don't know how this match was. And I don't think Alexander James is very good either. Let me quick explain my thoughts on this front situation. I don't give a shit about the front. Niles is an alright dude, and I don't think he's a horrible worker. But the rest of that entire group, there's like 18 guys, they all suck as far as I'm concerned. And if they don't, I haven't seen them wrestle yet because I don't know who the fuck most of them are. And maybe some of them are good, but I have no knowledge of that. So as far as I'm concerned, there are a bunch of people who nobody knows who the fuck they are. And they, as a group, are trying to fight another group, which consists of Drew Gulak, who's an awesome wrestler, Kimberly, who's really good, and is another one that just continues to get better.
Mr. Tofinga, I don't know what to say. I mean, he can be used in some aspects. I think he's extremely limited, honestly. I just think he's extremely limited. I know he's coming back from this huge injury and everything like that, but I don't know how much can be done. The matches that can actually happen with him, I don't know what the dream match would be. I don't know. I mean, he could throw a bunch of guys around. I mean, so I guess he kind of works as like that enforcer fucking Big E Langston role. But I don't know about actually, like, you know, one-on-one matches that turn out to be fantastic. I mean, like, but he ended up, like, breaking his shit on, or what the fuck did he tore? He fucked something up really bad, his knee or something, when it gave out. And I think it was, like, I want to say it was, like, an up and over to the apron or some shit like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't think it was something that was, like, of course, it's like a freak accident because you landed on a shit wrong and it just went out. But, I mean, when you're at that weight, it's CZW. I mean, it's not where the WWE, you have your really big guys, then they fall into their class and stuff like that. CZW really doesn't have that. So, I'm not saying it can't work, but with DJ having such a hard time finding how to use normal-sized guys right, I find it really difficult to believe that they're going to figure out where to use him, right, if it's not to just continue to be in an enforcer angle. But I don't see, like, where this guy ends up with a belt and makes anybody care. I don't think that, you know, this guy with a push has any credibility. And honestly, he's always been a super nice guy, like, you know, pre-ring when he was just security guy. He's a super nice guy. I got nothing against him whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, this, I'm breaking this crew down. And then Alexander James, who I really, really don't, I have no care for. I don't like him. I'm not saying as a person, I don't know him like that. But he's like a bootleg Chris Hero. Now, I don't want to say, like, because the dude reminds me of Chris Hero, the way he does anything or the way he looks here. No, like, he kind of looks like him. But like a bootleg Chris Hero, like bootleg, like camcorder in the movie theater while the movie theater's packed that you buy off an Asian guy version of Chris Hero. Like that. You know what I mean? So that's the Gulak campaign, is those guys. Then you got the front, who, what the fuck is all of that? What is all of that? Like, Corvus, fucking Eric Corvus. He was Corvus Fear before. I always despised his work. I've watched a shitload of his matches in Jersey All Pro. Pretty much every Jersey All Pro show I ever went to had a Corvus Fear match on that I fucking hated, with his Batman tights and shit. Like, dude, I never fucking liked Corvus Fear's work. I always thought it sucked. So now he's Eric Corvus. I guess he's no more fear there. And then I heard, like, sometime during the announcing, they said Ace Delic. Wasn't he the guy who did, like, the fucking website work or something? Like, I don't know who the fuck that is either, but I've heard his name, and it wasn't, like, in wrestling capacity. Like, oh, Ace Delic sure tore down the house tonight. I think, like, he was, like, a fucking, like, commentator or something, or a fucking website guy, or I don't know what the fuck. But, yeah, the front... I don't know what the fuck they're doing there. I think that's a really fucking stupid idea. Like, let's just group together tons of fucking people to waste time on the card, and then let's do fucking promos and like, let's do fucking videos and put those online as if people are going to care more about this group of fucking nobodies. Like, I just don't understand what the fuck they're doing. It makes just as much sense as the fucking Joe Gacy push and fucking Christina Von Erie in the main event. And let me use that as a segue to Christina Von Erie in the main event against Masada. A Fatal Attraction death match. Okay. This match definitely, without question, proved that Christina Von Erie is an extremely, extremely tough chick. However, I could give a fuck about this match. Like I said, she took a ton of abuse, this and that. I'd say the first half of the match and the first half of the abuse that she was taking weren't even really wrestling moves. They were just like her kind of getting pushed, or like there was one where it was kind of like a side slamish thing, but he kind of just like laid her in the thumbtacks, and like it was just awkward. It wasn't, you know, fucking brutal crusher Masada. And yeah, he definitely hit some shit during the match that did, you know, resemble that side of Masada. But like I said, you put him over Generico, Davey Richards, fucking, I didn't want to end with that. Drake, who else did they bring in? Shit. They brought in a ton of people, and like everybody he was wrestling, he was just fucking crushing for the most part. He'd take everything they had, he'd fucking give it back to them, he'd fucking win the match. So now I was really, really supposed to believe that Christina Von Erie has some kind of edge to go some length of match where this guy just doesn't tear her head off and walk to the back. It's just suspension of disbelief is fucking gone when it comes to that type of shit. Like, she can be as tough as she wants to, but I'm sorry, the two in a row King of the Tournament of Death champion who's been running fucking roughshod over everybody they put in front of him in CZW isn't just fucking murdering and walking away from a chick who's in the ring with him. Like, what, is she a smarter wrestler than everybody that she knows how tricky stuff? And like I said, she showed extreme toughness in this match. I can take nothing away from her for that, and I wouldn't even try. But, dude, stop with this shit in the main event. Please. Don't spend 2 years making me believe that nobody could fuck with him, including a shoot interview where he says he'll punch everybody's fucking father and mother in the face if they fuck around, and he'll kill this one. And like, like I said, he's the fucking heavy metal, fucking the death metal Iron Sheik in his shoot interview. He'll beat the fuck out of everybody. And Scotty Vortex, he says he'll beat him with fucking Big Bird wrapped in barbed wire. You know what I mean? Like, he's got all this shit to say. He'll kill this motherfucker, and that guy's a pussy. And meanwhile, there's a chick across the ring for him that he happens to be dating, and it's like, oh, well, she's about an even match. I guess we'll have to go toe-to-toe with her for a while. You know, and then they have, you know, broken up in the end with Gacy comes in, and then Tremont comes for the save. So then I got to look forward to that March match where I got Gacy and Tremont added to that, and it's a four-way. Oh, I just can't wait. I just can't fucking wait. Actually, I can. But I'm going to definitely try to review that next week, as well as, like I said, go back over the PWG thing, because I really like that show, and I want to like get into detail of what I did like and didn't like, and, you know, whatever. I think that's about all I got. Ant signed in briefly. He's over there across the pond, as they say. And, I mean, thanks for popping in. I think it's like fucking 5 a.m. or some crazy shit like that. So, you know, if you did happen to be listening or still listening and just not in the chat, big shout out to that guy and anyone from across the pond that are listening, because I cannot imagine being up at that time and giving a fuck about what I'm saying, let alone can I imagine people giving a fuck about what I'm saying at a reasonable time. So, I guess I'll, do my plugs. You can check out Wrestling Soup tomorrow night.
If you will, put this down.
Joey number that rules.
Yeah, and then tomorrow night, actually, it's normally Mish and Joey,
Well, Mish is going to be actually going to a TNA show, which is about the weirdest thing I've said all night. And Don Tony is going to be subbing in for Mish, and it's going to be Don Tony and Joey Numbers. And that'll be pretty entertaining, because I don't think that's ever happened before. So that should be a very entertaining little combo. Women Love Wrestling, another show I believe they aired tonight. I'm not really positive. Going to want to check them out on the archive. Here they go.
We're Canadian. We sound like white girls, but we're black. Plus, we love wrestling. We make fun of others and ourselves. Join Melanie and Corey every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen live on Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe and download on iTunes for free. WomenLoveWrestling.com. We're not your average chick.
Yeah, so that's what's up. Sports Den, they are on tonight. You can go over there and check them out. I'm sure they're still on the air as I leave here. I got to get their address, their whole website address. Go to the Facebook at the Sports Den, and I'm sure they got their links flying up there left and right. So definitely check them out tonight, or check them out on the archive as I will. Let me see what else I got. Stern Nation, as I said. Definitely check them out. Andrew gave the plug earlier. Tuesday will be Two Moms, One Show, and it will be Tink's last Two Moms, One Show. And then Nina's going to be figuring out she may have another co-host, or I don't really know completely what's going on there. So that's that. I think that's about all I got. So check me out next Wednesday, as always, and I will check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
J. Cat Morris. DJ Hyde must hate this motherfucker.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over.